Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. There are a lot of politics going on today in the world. It seems as though you look around the world, there's an election in this nation, an election in that nation, economic problems here, economic problems there, and the world just seems to be in great turmoil. And it seems like the more that things change, the more they stay the same or get worse. How many elections have they had in Greece since they had to go on the austerity program because everybody's living off the dole? In France, they elect a new president, and he says he's going to fix the economy. Tax the rich. Well, they all moved to Belgium. And now the economy's ready to implode. We have an election here in America. And people are very polarized for one candidate or the other, one party or the other. But let me just ask you a question here. Has any human government really been good? Now think of the whole history of the world. And the answer is no. Now that's why you need to go back and go over the segments that we have on the kingdom of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God. You see, because the ultimate solution to everything is the return of Jesus Christ, who's going to rule the world as king of this world, and all of the resurrected saints are going to be functioning as kings and priests to rule this world and bring them righteous government. But that's way down in the future yet. Yeah, that's some ways off. How far off, we don't know. We don't know the hour. We don't know the time. But as we have discussed on prophecy, you go by the event. Well, here's an event that is happening right now. Come to Psalm, the second chapter. And you take this psalm and you look at your nightly news and you look at the candidates that are running for this or that office, and everyone thinks that everything is fine. But what you find out is this: everyone who gets in are liars. Once in a while, you get someone who is not. Once in a while, you get someone who does things quite well. And when you analyze, as we'll see a little later, why it was successful was because they actually followed the instructions in the Bible of what to do and what not to do, whether they understood they were following the words that are preserved in the Bible for rulers. Now we'll see and understand what it is that God wants from a ruler here in just a bit. But let's look at the world scene. Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us. We want nothing to do with God. And yet God gives them life and God gives them breath. Can't even take a Bible to school. Can't even pray before a football game or a graduation ceremony. The nations think, well, we'll print money and spend it and have prosperity everywhere. Then they wonder why they're going broke. They wonder why their plans don't work. Well, God says in Daniel, the fourth chapter, and verse 17, that he rules in the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills, and the people receive the ruler that God is sending them based upon the general behavior, righteousness or unrighteousness of the people. So elections do count. But what's more important? What is the private life of everyone who elects? What is the private life of the one who is elected? Because if they do, like it says here in Psalm 2, which is happening today, here's what happens. He who sits in the heavens laughs, and the Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his wrath, and in his fury he terrifies them. And that comes with all the problems and difficulties, wars, famines, pestilence, plagues, economic disasters. These are all the result of breaking the commandments of God. People don't realize that. Please understand, here's something important to realize. There is no such thing as a sin or a crime that doesn't affect other people. All of these perverted sex laws that have been enacted in various nations, promoting homosexuality and every kind of deviant sexual behavior, it affects the people. It affects the land. Now, here in America, there has been a movement toward getting rid of abortion. How does God view that? Well, first of all, he hates abortion because it's murdering and killing not only the innocent, but it is destroying his handiwork of creating a new human being. So getting rid of abortion, God will honor that and bless that. But look at the uproar of people because women want to have control over their own bodies. How have they been doing? What is this rate of sexual transmitted diseases among teenage girls who have been taught, have sex with anyone, anywhere, it's your life, it's your body? How's that gone? Let's see what happens when people come to that point. Here come to Leviticus 18. Let's see something very important. What God told the children of Israel, what to do and what not to do. Specifically referring to sex sins, sex crimes. God is the author of sex. He gave it so there would be love, so there would be development of the family, so we could procreate and create children after our own kind, but yet it's really the hand of God creating that new person in the womb of the mother through the genes and chromosomes. Sex, as God desires it to be used and created, is good. But just because it's pleasurable, doesn't mean that if you misuse it, if you abuse it, if you pervert it, that it is good. Why do you think there are such things as sexually transmitted diseases? Married couples who have remained faithful, they never get them. And yet people are not smart enough to figure out that if they are faithful to one another, and stay married as husband and wife, there isn't any chance of them getting a venereal disease, or sexually transmitted, as they like to call it today. So God is involved in people's lives. God is involved in the nations. And when people rage and get mad and get angry and have sexual revolutions and homosexual revolutions and break the commandments of God and go against God and define deviancy and sin down to where now it's getting to the level that there are so many crimes, sex crimes that are taking place that people are ready to give up and say, well, no. Just get rid of the law and there won't be a crime. No, because God is the one who's given the law in the first place. So here God gave the warning. I'll let you read all of Leviticus 18 because it talks about every sexual situation, all the way from incest to perversion and homosexuality and bestiality. And God says, you shall not do so. And the nation that does it, God is going to vomit it out. So when you look at what is an election all about and what are politics all about, when you have that kind of background, it's very hard to get someone who's going to, number one, be honest and truthful, and number two, be righteous and moral. Look at divorce. Now they don't even bother marrying. Yet you ask any of them, well, what sex is all about? Do you know? Do you understand? Well, maybe they ought to think about the judgment, see. And here we have someone running for president in America that endorses homosexual marriages. You want to know why we have the problems we do? It's because of sex problems and covetousness and commandment breaking. That's why. So even if you elect someone who can do something, it's only going to be like putting a Band-Aid on a great festering wound. You may stop some of the pus from running, but until you get rid of the wound, the Band-Aid is only temporary. Leviticus 18, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. Do you love God and fear God? Do you treat God like a God and worship him in spirit and in truth? Or do you treat God like a hip pocket rabbit foot? Or do you hang a crucifix on your rear view mirror thinking that somehow that crucifix is going to protect you? How do you treat God? Do you love him? Do you fear him? Do you know his commandments? Why do you think God said, you shall not commit adultery? Was that just to keep you from having fun? Or was there a greater purpose behind it to not do it? The truth is, all the elections in the world and changing of leaders will be in vain until the behavior of the people and the leader changes to conform to the commandments of God. God said, as they do in the land of Egypt where you dwelt, you shall not do, and you shall not do as they do in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. Neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances and walk in them. I am the Lord your God. Now I want you to understand how many times he says, he is Lord. None of you shall approach to any who are near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Then it lists all the incestuous relationships with father, daughter, mother, son, in-laws, nephews, aunts, uncles, etc. God says, you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination to the Lord. You shall not lie with any animal to defile yourself with it, and a woman shall not stand before an animal to lie down to it. It is a perversion. Now let's see how God judges. Remember this. God is lawgiver. That's why he says, I am the Lord. Do you believe that with all your heart, mind, soul, and being? Are you willing to love God the way he says to? Now, if you've committed sins and done things in the past, you can repent of those, but you have to repent of those from the heart. And you have to stop that kind of behavior. And you have to ask God to cleanse your mind and repair your emotions. You can only do that with the Word and Spirit of God. You can only do that with true repentance and baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. People are out there destroying their lives. So we have an election. Maybe we get a man who's going to be better than the one who has been there. But how about the population? Huh? What do you think is going to happen in the great homosexual centers of the world? Are they going to change and repent because the government changes? No. They're not going to repent until Jesus Christ returns. And they'll be given one opportunity, repent or die. That's how Christ is going to do it. See, because you can't mock God, as the nations say, oh, let us cut the cords. Oh, let us do it our way. Here's what happens. Verse 24, do not defile yourself in any of these things, for in all these the nations which I cast out before you are defiled, and the land is defiled. It is breaking the commandments of God that is causing the upheavals in the environment. Breaking the commandments of God in our behavior. Breaking the commandments of God that we do not dress and keep the earth the way that it should be. That's why God is angry. Land is defiled. Therefore, I visit its wickedness against it. God is the one who makes the judgment, and the land itself vomits out those who live in it. Have we had some judgment of God this year? How about massive unemployment? How about drought and famine? How about tornadoes and earthquakes? How about floods and disasters? How about policies of the government overseas going awry? They are all connected to going against God. Now we're going to see what really should be done. Not just an election is going to change it. Each one of us personally, you and everyone you know, have to change their lives and their thoughts and their minds and their practices, because they're sinning against God. Even people who appear to be nice and sincere and stalwart people have things they need to repent of. So he says, the land is defiled, therefore I visit its wickedness against it, and the land itself vomits out those who live in it. How? By enemies coming in, and eventually an overthrow of that nation. Has that happened in the past? Yes. Every great empire has come to the point of such corruption and perversion that it is overthrown. Question. Is that happening in Europe? Question. How long before it happens here? Think about it. God says, verse 26, you shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither the native nor any stranger that lives among you, for the men of the land who were before you have done all these abominations, and the land is defiled. You shall not do these so that the land may not spew you out also when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. For whoever commits any of these abominations, even that soul who commits them shall be cut off from among his people. Now, what does that mean? That means that your life is a mess. It is a wreck. You don't know what is up. You don't know what is down. You don't know what is right. You don't know what is wrong. And that's how you're cut off from among the people. Let's come here to Leviticus 20. All of these are subject to the death penalty, according to the law of God. Now, in the New Testament, there can be repentance and recovery. But in the law of the land, that's how God said it should be done. Now, let's talk a little bit about the birth control that they had in these ancient pagan lands. It was actually after birth control. So let's read it. See what God says, and let's apply it to the greatest sin that we have. Killing of the innocent unborn. Verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, Any one of the children of Israel or of the stranger who lives in Israel that gives any of his children to Moloch shall surely be put to death. What was giving the children to Moloch? Well, there was a great idol of Moloch, and there was a fire built in this big bronze idol, and he had arms that would reach out like this. And what they would do would offer their children to Moloch as a sacrifice. And they would go through their various routines and dancing and music and everything. And then the mother and father would come and bring this little innocent child, put it on the arms of Moloch, and the priest of Moloch would push a lever and the arms would come back and drop the child down into the roaring furnace and burn it alive. A lot of people say, oh, how gruesome. Ooh, why would you even talk about such a thing? Well, because that's what people have done, and God judges for. That was one of their number one sins. What is it today? Abortion. Adultery, fornication, homosexuality, and all of these perversions. Until there is a beginning of a reversal of those behaviors and practices, there will be no recovery. We need to understand that. Now, let's come to the book of Psalms again. Let's understand that God views the world all the time. God understands people all the time. He knows every sin that is committed. He knows every hair that is on your head. God is not way off someplace. He's ruling this world through angels and demons. He's calling people out of the world to repent and come to the truth to prepare to rule with Christ to take over this world. Let's pick it up here in Psalm 12. Here's the plea. Help! O Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the children of men. They speak falsehood, each one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. How's that for politics? What do you think God thinks of those who endorse a man who endorses abortion and same-sex marriage? Here's what's going to happen. Judgment sooner or later is going to come. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things, who have said, With our tongue we shall prevail. Doesn't matter what lies we tell, we'll make them good. Really. Our lips are our own, who is Lord over us. But notice what happens when that takes place. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, I will now arise, says the Lord, and I will set him in safety from him who puffs at him. That means you better turn to God. That's your only help. Then it talks about the word of the Lord is pure, tried, as silver is in the furnace seven times tried. Now come down here to verse 8. Here is a perfect description of this society. And as I read this, please understand that an election may make some difference. But until there is a reformation like I have brought out, there will be no relief. Verse 8, the wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. And I submit to you that that is exactly how it is in every nation on the earth. We have the basest of men and the vilest of men being exalted. Once in a while, we get someone who is honest. Once in a while, we get someone who is really knowing what needs to be done. And when that happens, things improve a great deal. But the number one thing is this. You cannot live in sin and expect the blessings of God. No election is going to change that. It may make some modification for a while, but not very much. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and write for our books, Lord, What Should I Do?, The Appointed Times of Jesus the Messiah. Go to our website, cbcg.org, and there we have sermons covering some of these same things and the prophecies of the return of Christ and the kingdom of God. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.